When I was a kid, I loved going to the library, but not for the kids section. That was always sticky and smelled like apple juice and shame. I went for the history aisle, and I'd sit on the floor between those towering shelves, flipping through those thick Civil War books. You know the ones. Haunting sepia photos of men who looked like they were in their 40s, but were actually 19, holding rifles that were sometimes taller than they were. And their faces all seemed to say the same thing. We made a terrible mistake. And I used to imagine how horrific and unreal that must have felt. A country tearing itself in half, brother killing brother, neighbors burning each other's barns. It all felt like a different universe. Something that we'd evolved past and left far behind. I mean, we had microwaves and color TV. What could possibly make us that stupid again? Well, turns out stupidity ages like fine wine. Because here we are, several decades later, and the words Second Civil War don't sound like something out of a bad dystopian novel anymore. They sound like a weekend Twitter trend or a rumor, a premonition, a marketing campaign. And while everyone's busy yelling about which side they'll be on when the big one starts, nobody seems to notice who's quietly watching from the upper balcony, sipping their imported scotch, making sure the lighting is just right for the live stream. Because to the plutocrats, the billionaire class, the boardroom warlords, Civil War isn't a tragedy. It's a business model. And it's the ultimate distraction. Now, revolution is very bad for business. But Civil War, well, that just keeps the system running. Revolutions threaten power, but civil wars actually reinforce it. Revolutions are about tearing down the hierarchy, but civil wars, well, they're about rearranging deck chairs on a sinking yacht while the guy who owns the yacht quietly builds a bigger and a better one offshore. That's why, in this day and age, civil war is preferable to revolution. Because, and this is important, civil war is really just class war cleverly designed as something else. A war of neighbors, races, genders, ideologies, and so forth. It's a blood sport designed to make sure no one ever looks up long enough to realize who's actually pulling the strings. And the truth is, the people who stand to lose the most from a real revolution have learned how to weaponize division with surgical precision. So they've turned rage into a subscription service and hate and fear into content and clicks. And you think you're fighting the enemy, but the real enemy is whoever profits when you fight. Now, they don't fear collapse. What they fear is solidarity. And that's because solidarity and cooperation, it's the one thing that can't be monetized. But civil war, on the other hand, is perfectly monetizable. It's the gift that just keeps on giving in contracts and control, in clicks and attention. And the joke, if you can call it that, is that the people who think they're rebelling against the system are usually the ones doing its dirty work for free. It's like setting your house on fire because the landlord's an asshole, while the landlord sells tickets to the blaze. And we keep imagining that civil war would be this great purging or cleansing, as if finally the corruption gets washed away, the bad guys fall, the good people rise. But in practice, civil wars don't reboot systems. They actually reinstall them, just with a few new bugs and a lot more malware. A revolution destroys the operating system, but a civil war just updates the user interface. The rich, or whatever polite word you want to use, elites, oligarchs, plutocrats, owners of things you'll never touch, they prefer civil war because it looks like rebellion, but it acts like maintenance. It burns down the village, sure, but somehow the bank still owns the ashes. And if you think I'm exaggerating, just look at history. Every time society starts to notice that the real divide isn't left versus right, but up versus down, something conveniently happens to split the bottom half into warring tribes. Whether it's religion, race, gender, ideology, sports teams, Marvel versus DC, or whatever the hell works. As long as you're too busy hating each other to notice that rent and groceries went up again. The ruling class doesn't just own production, though. They own perception. And they own the narrative and the outrage and the illusion of choice. And we think we're having an ideological war, but really we're just unpaid extras in the oligarch's favorite genre, distraction theater. A French philosopher, Guy Debord, said it better when he stated that we've replaced reality with representation. Politics, culture, morality, everything's become performance art. And no one remembers what the play was even about. So we've become so used to watching reality that we forgot how to change it. And you could almost hear the boardroom conversations. Gentlemen, we're facing record inequality and social unrest. What should we do? Well, have you tried giving everyone someone new to hate? Perfect. Schedule it for sweeps week. And we fall for this every time. Because nothing unites us like division. There's something perversely comforting about having an enemy. It gives your misery a direction. It's far easier to scream at a stranger online than admit that both of you are drowning in the same poisoned water. So Hannah Arendt once said that totalitarianism thrives when people stop believing in truth and start believing in nothing. When facts and fiction blur, and when you can't tell the difference between corruption and coincidence, that's when the plutocrats exhale and just pour another glass. Because as long as you're lost in the fog, you'll never find the source of the smoke. And, well, what's the easiest way to keep people disoriented? Goad them into a civil war. It's emotional manipulation, and it's loud and chaotic, and it's conveniently endless. So, a civil war is really just a class war turned inward. It's working class people fighting over the moral debris of a system that already failed them, while the rich sell both sides the bullets. Think of it like a rigged boxing match where both fighters are being paid by the same promoter. And the audience, we're paying for the seats and the medical bills. Now, people romanticize civil war like it's some noble cinematic climax, the storm before the rebirth. But that's not really how collapse works. Collapse is rather boring, tedious. It's waiting in line at a gas station for 3 hours to buy bread that now costs a day's wages. Collapse is checking your phone to see if your family made it across the border. And it's watching politicians talk about unity from gated communities while militias patrol the streets. And guess who still gets their Amazon deliveries during all that? That's right. The same people who caused it. Orwell warned us that the object of power is power. And that's the secret. Civil war isn't the death of power, it's renewal. Every regime loves an excuse to tighten the reins and censor dissent, militarize the streets, and then call it national security. Now, civil war gives them all that. That and plausible deniability. So, basically, they get to play savior while cashing in on all the chaos. And in the rubble, nothing changes, except the price of bread and the definition of freedom. You want to know what revolution really looks like? It's quiet and it's unsexy. It's people building boring systems that actually work, like healthy unions, cooperatives, community banks, mutual aid networks, things that don't trend on social media because they're not emotionally explosive enough to hold your attention and, of course, sell ads. But those are the things that scare oligarchs the most, because they can't own them. You can't IPO solidarity and cooperation. Civil War is the reality show you didn't know you were auditioning for. And the producers already wrote the ending. You ever notice how every decade has its national emergency, but the billionaires' portfolios just keep going up regardless? It's like if there is a God, it keeps flooding the earth, but somehow the yachts always stay dry. Funny how that works. And it's not coincidence. That's logistics. Civil War is the ultimate stimulus package for the ruling class, because nothing spikes profits like panic. And fear makes people buy things, of course, and obey things, and it makes them believe things they normally wouldn't, like that your neighbor's the problem, or that the government actually gives a shit. So, it's the perfect business model. Manufacture outrage, and then sell the cure. It's like lighting your own house on fire so you can start a fire extinguisher company. And the oligarchs have learned something the rest of us haven't. If you can't keep people happy, well, then keep them angry. Anger's more predictable. And anger buys subscriptions. Anger, it checks the news 5 times a day just to stay miserable in real time. And there's no better consumer than someone convinced they're under siege. And when working class people start realizing they have more in common with each other than with their bosses, that's when the alarm bells go off in the boardrooms. Quick, release another culture war kraken. Argue about bathrooms, book bans, whatever. For God's sake, distract them before they notice the rent's eating their paycheck. And it works. Every time. Because we're too busy screaming about each other's sins to notice the guy counting all the money in the back. Antonio Gramsci, the Italian philosopher who basically invented the term cultural hegemony. Well, he once said that power survives by controlling the story of what's normal. Now, he was arrested by fascists who literally said, "We must stop this brain from working for 20 years. Now, you know you're onto something when the government wants to confiscate your thoughts. And the modern version of this, well, they don't arrest you. They just submerge you in noise. You can't think straight when the world feels like a group chat on fire. And this is because we live in an economy of attention, which means division isn't a side effect, it's the product. So media companies figured out that outrage is addictive. And like any good dealer, they just keep upping the dose. Algorithms are like the new warlords. They're invisible, they're data fed, and they don't care what side you're on as long as you stay online and keep buying stuff. So ultimately, civil war equals engagement, and engagement sells ads. Imagine a billionaire watching society implode from his mountain fortress. He's sipping a drink that costs more than your car insurance, watching drones film street riots like stock footage for his next commercial. Now for him, class war isn't just profitable, it's entertainment. And he's not really worried because he is the insurance. Civil war doesn't threaten the oligarchs. It justifies them. When everything's on fire, you start begging for the guy with the biggest bucket, even if he's the one who sold the matches. Noam Chomsky once said, "The smart way to keep people passive is to strictly limit the spectrum of debate, but allow very lively discussion within it." So what this means is we fight tooth and nail inside a political sandbox built by the same people who own both shovels. We're like kids arguing about who gets to use the red toy truck while the adults just quietly foreclose on the playground. You can't build a better world when the game is designed to make you hate the other players. Civil war isn't the crash of the system. It's the maintenance check. The owners call it creative destruction. Like, that somehow makes it sexy. And it's the same trick they've pulled for centuries. Keep the peasants too busy stabbing each other to notice who owns the knives. So look at any historical collapse. Rome, Weimar Germany, late stage empires of every flavor, and you'll see the same choreography. The poor get blamed, the middle class gets squeezed, and the rich hold seminars on resilience. They don't care which flag wins, as long as it keeps waving over a victory. Civil war is the illusion of meaning in a meaningless system. It gives people a script. The rebel, the patriot, or the martyr, the savior. It's cosplay for the spiritually bankrupt. Because if you can't find purpose in your life, at least you can die for somebody else's marketing campaign. And yes, it's all incredibly, astoundingly stupid. But that's the twisted genius of it. Because stupidity is easier to control than despair. Despair makes people unpredictable. Stupidity, well, you can practically automate that. Orwell warned us about the memory hole the place where history gets erased. Well, now we have the algorithmic hole, where your outrage gets monetized before you can even finish the sentence. So, the plutocrats don't really need to censor you. They just need to exhaust you. They feed you so much fear and confusion and moral panic that you start craving authority just for the illusion of order. Now, Hannah Arendt saw that happen in the 1930s. People didn't love the dictator. They just couldn't stand the chaos anymore. And a civil war breeds that chaos perfectly. It's the petri dish where tyranny grows under fluorescent lighting and patriotic slogans. And here's the part that really stings. We're not only victims of the system, we're employees. We participate in our own manipulation because it feels good. It gives us identity, meaning, and a convoluted sense of purpose. It also gives us enemies. And in a world this empty, enemies are the closest thing most people have to purpose. The oligarchs understand that better than we do. They sell meaning wholesale. It's prepackaged, shipped overnight. All you have to do is pick a side and stay pissed off. So, we've turned civil war into a form of entertainment, and entertainment into a form of anesthesia. And we're just too doped up on dopamine and despair to notice the strings. But hey, at least the lighting's great. The apocalypse is finally in 4K. You know, if hell had a marketing department, it would look exactly like a modern-day media company. Okay. The thing nobody tells you about revolution is that it's boring. It's mostly committee meetings and spreadsheets. It's arguing over zoning codes and labor contracts while your friends are out watching TikToks about how society is collapsing. Nobody's ever posted a sexy montage of filling out nonprofit tax forms. Not that I know of, anyway. And yet, that's where the real work lives. And of course, Civil War looks exciting with all its battlefield drama. Revolution looks like someone staying up at 2 a.m. fixing the bylaws on a food co-op so a family can afford groceries next month. Thrilling, right? And this is why oligarchs prefer civil war, because revolution doesn't trend. No, a real revolution threatens power at its roots, which means it has to be subtle and methodical. And it has to be unglamorous. All the things that don't sell ad space. So in a nutshell, civil war sells chaos and revolution builds systems. Now one burns quickly, the other takes incredible patience and humility and an ungodly amount of coffee. And patience is the one virtue no modern society has left. Because we've been trained to want catharsis, not real change. Catharsis feels like victory, but change just feels like work drudgery. But you know, the truth is, nobody's going to swoop in and fix this. There's no Messiah. There's no magical movement, no billionaire philanthropist with a guilty conscience and big enough to redistribute his private jet collection. Real revolution starts smaller than that. Disgustingly smaller. It starts with people who are sick and tired of being hustled, tired of being emotionally manipulated by politics as entertainment, and tired of pretending that hope is a business model. And it starts when you realize that the system doesn't collapse just because you hate it. It collapses when you stop feeding it. And you stop giving it your data and your outrage and your blind loyalty and despair. Look, the plutocrats need you to depend on them. They don't need you to love them. They don't care if you scream at your boss online as long as you clock in tomorrow. And they don't really give a shit if you hate the government, as long as you still pay taxes and, of course, interest. And they don't care if you, they don't even care if you burn down the neighborhood, as long as you don't touch the stock exchange. You know, it's like that, that Bukowski line, the problem with the world is that the intelligent people are full of doubts, while the stupid ones are full of confidence. The elites are just the competent ones with an army of lawyers. And the rest of us are just too busy overthinking our grocery lists to realize that we actually do outnumber them several million to one. Now, the greatest rebellion now isn't about violence. It's functional. So imagine millions of people just quietly opting out of the game. And not in a hippie fantasy way, in a practical and deliberate way. Grow your own food and form local cooperatives. Vote in every stupid, boring local election that no billionaire can be bothered to fund. Revolution doesn't happen when people get angry. It happens when people get organized. And that takes some time and dedication and some discipline. And, well, organization is kryptonite to oligarchs. Because you can't bribe everyone when they all talk to each other. But I know it's difficult, isn't it? Because we live in a culture where loneliness has replaced community, and where people mistake scrolling for action and cynicism for intelligence. We all want to change the world, right? But only if it could be done through an app that lets us skip all the meetings. So we've lost the patience to build anything that doesn't deliver dopamine in under 8 seconds. And you can't really build a new world on an 8-second attention span. Revolution, the real kind, will probably be so quiet you'll mistake it for apathy. And it'll happen in the empty space the news ignores. A community garden, a credit union, a library that refuses to close, a local paper that won't take corporate ads. That's where the oligarchs lose. Not on the battlefield, but in the background. And maybe that's why they keep us distracted with Civil War fantasies. Because if we ever realized how powerful quiet solidarity really is, the whole illusion would collapse overnight. And we wouldn't need to fight the system. We'd just say no to it. And then replace it. And that's the terrifying part for them. That power could eventually simply, well, it could just simply evaporate because we just got bored of playing along. But, you know, let's be honest. I mean, most people won't because we're addicted to the spectacle. And frankly, we love the end of the world because it's easier to imagine than a Tuesday night town hall meeting. It's actually easier to imagine the end of the world than the end of capitalism. One sounds cinematic, the other sounds like paperwork. So yeah, they'll keep pushing the apocalypse because it's marketable. And we'll just keep on buying it because it's entertaining. But the joke is that the world already ended several times. We just refreshed the feed and called it progress. Empires collapsed, species vanished, communities broke apart, and yet the same people kept showing up to work on Monday. And that's the real Civil War. The one between your conscience and your paycheck. Nonetheless, I don't believe that we're doomed. I think we're just colossally distracted. And we've mistaken the noise for the message. So, the message is very simple. Build what you want to survive. Now that might mean growing your own food or teaching your neighbor's kid how to read, or maybe it'll involve creating art that doesn't rely on sponsorship from the same people who poison rivers. It might mean just being kind in a culture that profits off cruelty. Or maybe it'll mean turning off the news and putting away the dopamine rectangle and remembering what sunlight and fresh air is like. You don't need to overthrow the world. You just need to make small pockets of sanity until they connect. And I think that's what every real revolution has ever been. It's just people deciding we're done being crazy and meaning it. So if you're going to fight a war, I guess make it count. And not the Civil War that they keep insidiously pushing on us. I'm talking about the internal one. The war against cynicism and despair, against all the learned helplessness. Because that's the only battle they actually need us to lose. So, Civil War might be the plutocrats' favorite plot twist, but just try to remember that you don't have to be an extra in someone else's movie. You can just walk off the set. Just know that the revolution, it isn't going to look good on camera. It's going to look ordinary and mundane. Like someone making breakfast in a house that still stands. And maybe that's the most radical image of all. That the world didn't end. You just stopped letting the wrong people write the script. Okay. I think that's all I got today. As always, thanks for watching.